Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around. Welcome back to Hacks and Hobbies, friends. Today's guest is someone who's turning personal pain into a global purpose. Amita Sharma is a co-founder of Nourish Doc, a wellness platform tackling one of the most overlooked health challenges in modern spaces: hormonal transitions like PMS, perimenopause, and menopause. She's on a mission to make these conversations part of DEI and health equity. Amita, welcome to the show. Super excited to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Janine. I love the work that you're doing. I listen to some of your work. I think it's very exciting how you bring people who have turned their hobbies into purpose-driven some businesses most of the time, right?
Yeah. And it's so inspiring because as human beings, we have so much breadth to who we are. And then you don't want to pigeonhole yourself into, I'm just this one person. But we're not. We have so many more dimensions and so many more colors to us. So I'm glad that it's picking up its own movement and on its own as well.
Yeah.
Amita, let's rewind to your tech career. You come from a tech background. What was that moment like when you realized something needed to change?
At that time, actually, I was just focused on trying to navigate my personal journey because it was so awful.
Yeah.
I was a complete mess and I had all kind of issues relating to my journey of hormonal transition that at that time, I never thought that I would be sitting in front of you and doing this, to be honest, right? I just wanted to fix myself because the pressure was enormous, as you can imagine, being in a high-tech industry. And it's a young industry in the sense it thrives on younger people, not mid-age people, whether it's men or women, it doesn't matter. And you just have to be constantly reinventing yourself and learning your new things to be keeping intact with what's happening, what's new. Now, AI is new, as an example.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
At that time, I just discovered a lot of different holistic therapies and a lot of dietary modifications, lifestyle modifications that I was able to fix myself. That was a big revelation for me at that time. And I was so thrilled about it. And then a few years back, I thought of, okay, if I was able to fix myself and if I was clueless during this journey, so are millions of other women. And that's when this whole thought process started. Hey, maybe I should go deeper into this topic. Why go around something else? And that's how the whole thing started.
That's so powerful because when we solve a problem for ourselves, we see so much more value in which we can bring to other people as well. Because as humans, we go through a very similar cycle, right? The circle of life, that the song from Lion King. But Del, let's start with your story. You mentioned keeping perimenopause a secret during your high-pressure tech career. What toll did that take on you, and how did it shape your desire to create the Nourish Doc platform?
It was traumatic because whenever you're trying to hide something and you're trying to fit into certain kind of a framework that the society has given you, you're always putting on a mask, right? We do that. And I come from that culture. Having grown up in India, I come from that culture of put a mask. Doesn't matter if the house is on fire, you've got to look outside and say everything is fine. Everything is good. We come from that Indian subcontinent, I should say that, or South Asia. We come from that culture. And so the same thing, hey, I'm not going to tell anyone I'm going through this whole perimenopause journey, even though I was suffering from inside. Sleep issues, hot flashes, all kind of things you can think of. Anxiety, a lot of anxiety. I used to get a lot of anxiety. I was not able to focus on my work. I would get brain fog, and that impacted my productivity. I know that it impacted my work, right? So what do? You are barely 40-something, and you need the money, unfortunately. You're too young to retire.
Yeah.
So how do you navigate this thing? And even if you retire, your mental stimulation, you need that. You'd be sitting at home looking at whatever. So all these thoughts were going into me, and I'm like, what am I supposed to do now? And there are so many things that actually fail you. The cultural stigma, we talked about that. Me coming from that as well, exacerbated the whole cultural part. Medical gap is also there. The medical fraternity does not, they don't learn about perimenopause in their medical schools. That's the other thing, generational silence. Yeah.
They don't teach you anything about perimenopause and those things at school?
No perimenopause, menopause 8 hours. That is what OBGYN came on NBC and she said, this is the truth.
They only spent 8 hours learning about that thing and that's it. Wow.
Everything is on fertility, on pregnancy or other things also. But I don't know what else they'd learn, but I know about this particular topic, 8 hours on menopause, no discussion on perimenopause. So amazing. When you go, like at that time, I was given an antidepressant, anti-anxiety pill. And like, I had the taboo, right? How the mental health has been a taboo about a decade back. And I'm like, oh my God, there's nothing wrong with me mentally. I'm perfectly fine. So I'm not going to take the pill because of the taboo and the stigma attached at that time, right? Yeah. And then you feel invisible, that workplace, because you're just trying to fit in. So these were my feelings at that time, is that all these feelings, I was not able to express myself. Yeah. I didn't want to, actually. It's not I was not able to. I think burden is on me. I did not want to express myself at workplace, with my family, with anywhere, that I'm going through this. And that is so bad. That is so bad. Now I think back, what I did is that was not something to be proud of, but that's what I did to survive myself, to survive through the system, so to speak.
Yeah, no, that's so true. And we like to keep those things bottled up because we're strong, we're capable, and you want to show the strength. And again, the stigma and the taboo type of topics, they're not brought up. Plus, on top of that, we're grown up, or the people around us are also not sharing the things that they're going through. Oh, everything is fine, watching, having fun, movies, et cetera, et cetera. But it's when one person starts to speak up, then all the other stories come out, right?
Correct.
The Alcoholics Anonymous is a whole group setting that's been around for decades. It's and it had to be created, that group structure, so that people can feel and have the support. Now, in hindsight, what support do you wish that you had back then? And how different do you think it would have made your professional experience at that time?
Yeah, if let's say back then, if when you go to your OBGYN and they give you, rather than spending only 3 minutes or 5 minutes or 7 minutes, whatever they have, rushing and going into, somebody just kind of, even if a nurse practitioner just goes over the things that you're going through and this is normal, rather than making it into such a big emergency medical that you have to be on a pill and you can't survive, right? Mm. That is the overall thinking that we have. Oh, take this pill and you'll be fine. But if someone just said, hey, this is a hormonal thing, you're going to go through it and this is what is going to happen and you might need to think about hormone replacement therapy, that's okay. But you might also need to shift your diet and lifestyle and all those things. Some kind of a support, right? Even at workplace, if there was some kind of a support, like it doesn't have to be plastered big posters over there saying perimenopause, menopause. It could be whatever women resources that women are going through or even men are going through. There are resources available for you to, these kind of things help, because at that age, you're only going to either at work, you're not going back to school or college, and or you're going into your OBGYN or primary care physician or your friend circle, your community. And last thing you want to do is go to a party and announce the world. That's not what happens.
It doesn't happen that way. Yeah, we're not that culture. We don't put our problems at display. We're not that kind of style. But I am glad that we are moving to that very slowly and finding those smaller communities. And I think all of this was accelerated thanks to the pandemic, right? Because people are like, okay, what's going on? Why are we feeling so depressed? We're missing that human connection. And I think podcasts seen its biggest rise during these past 4 years during the pandemic.
Absolutely. And the other thing is, I talked to over 3,000 experts all over the world.
Yeah.
80-90% of them were women, and majority of them were in their mid-40s, mid-age.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of them going through, obviously, this whole journey. And I found that it was culturally agnostic in the fact that all of the women, irrespective of their culture, ethnicity, they all felt the same way.
That's insane.
I was shocked. I thought because of my upbringing, I'm the one who's not talking and there's something is wrong with me. I thought everything's wrong with all the women out there. They are also doing the same behavior.
Same behavior.
Same behavior. And it was shocking because they also, exact same feelings what I felt.
No, that's really interesting. There has to be said something about the past decade or the past century of the upbringing and what's happening culturally and what's happening through marketing, like what focus is being put on which type of element. But what's really amazing is you creating the company like NourishDoc wasn't just building a business, right? It was taking on that cultural challenge that everybody's feeling. What did it take to turn this taboo topic into a scalable platform? You did talk about you interviewed over 3,000 people all in this space. Talk to us about how did that come about?
That was actually, it started around COVID. Nobody was hiring. I had finished my job. I had nothing better to do sitting at home. And this was something how I fixed myself. As I said, I embraced a lot of holistic therapies and I fixed myself. And I wanted to learn more about the topic, actually, more than anything else. I wanted to go deeper into it. And someone suggested, I was doing some social Facebook here and there, and someone suggested, they said, no, you should do this. I said, I've never done like this. I'm very shy and I don't like to put myself out there. I'm that kind of a person.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I started and I'm like, oh my God, this is, so that is how it started. And people started encouraging me that the work that I'm doing, they thought I've been working on this. And they said, the work you're doing is amazing. I'm like, oh, I'm just doing it.
Yeah,
to really increase awareness for holistic therapies more than anything else. And that's how it slowly started happening.
Yeah.
And then before I knew it, it dawned on me that the trigger that I always had for this perimenopause, so many women have it. And why not learn or understand about this topic, go deeper into it and see if there's anything there. And the more I dug into it, 2-3 years back, I realized that it's an under-researched topic, underfunded, not very well understood, so much confusion on women. Women are generally confused. All these things, even men are confused. So many men interviewed me. They said, oh my God, please help me, my partner, my wife. I'm like, I have no idea. I'm just fixing myself. I'll just tell you what I'm doing. All this confusion was like all over the map. And I said, no, let's just try to put this in a structured way rather than going here and there. And that's how this whole thought process started.
I love that you went deeper into solving your own problem. And we've seen so many new inventions come out because people are trying to solve their own problems. And they found others that were also going through that same trouble. So I'm glad that you were open enough to say, hey, let me talk to even more people. Now, how did you start getting in that buy-in from women across different countries and cultures, especially when even HR teams avoid that specific topic?
Yeah, a lot of women are scared about HRT because of the conflicting studies that have been done in the last few decades. And so I don't blame them, but now it seems like it is safe. So even I was scared, to be honest with you, because of the issues that had happened in the 70s, I think. So women are still, if you talk to women, I think there's a conflicting idea. Some women, they swear by HRT. They said, oh my God, I couldn't even function. It was so bad that I had to take HRT. And now I'm a little bit of a human. That's the exact quote someone told me. And then some of the other women you talk to, they said, oh my God, I'm not putting anything foreign in my body. God knows what kind of a side effect it's going to have after a decade now that we are finding so many things now that we did as a society a couple of decades back. Sodas and insecticides and pumping our chickens with the God knows antibiotics, all these things now we find, oh my God, we made a gross blunder here as a society. Now we have cancer going up and all those things. So generally women are scared, skeptical. because of the nature of what has happened in the past.
Yeah.
So that's why our approach and my approach for me personally has been holistic first. People ask me, you're going through alternative therapy. I'm like, that's not true. I'm going after that should be every single day. People should focus on what they eat, how they move, what kind of lifestyle they're running. That is not alternative. That is your single, every single day thing. It's not an alternative.
Yes.
The alternative should be the conventional medicine in this case, not the other way.
Right? Absolutely. You're 100% right. People think that a pill should solve the problem when our body movement and the foods that we put in is actually the thing that that should solve the problem. But how about the human resources teams? They avoid this topic. How did they get buy-in and brought you in to talk more about it?
So it's not been an easy topic, to be honest with you. Most of the people said no 2 years back. They said, oh, no, what are you talking about? Nobody's going to listen to this kind of a crap. I'm like, okay. So I've been at it, knocking doors, and I think things have improved from before. Because I think a lot of women, we know that 50% of the workforce in this country is women now. It is true. Mm-hmm. And majority of them are 40 plus. And this problem actually could start 35 plus. It's not like only older women. That's the perception people have. Oh, menopause. Oh, you're talking an older woman. She's going to retire anyway. Why bother about her? Right. That is the attitude. Sure. But it's not. See, that's what I try to tell, educate. Is that it's not 50 plus women. You're talking about this. This happened to me. I was barely 40. And this whole perimenopause journey started when I was 40, 41 years old.
Wow.
The same thing starts. Yeah, no, but that's normal, by the way. Nowadays, the whole thing is shifting and it's happening to women younger, like 35 plus in late 30s.
Wow. So, is that maybe related to the stress that work brings?
Absolutely. Stress, the kind of food we eat with pesticides, insecticides, toxins, all of the above, everything is contributing to the fact that young girls are starting their menstrual cycle earlier, like some as young as 8 years old, believe it or not. And then this is also shifting. The whole thing is shifting. And the perimenopause is also shifting to younger women, and that there are so many issues of infertility, as we know that, because of, could be one of the reasons is because of the perimenopause is shifting to younger women. So when this problem is starting at the younger women, which is 35 is nothing like this.
No, it's not.
So you're so young. Yeah. And if you start having these type of problems, then it's a serious problem at workplace for majority of your workforce. So these are the things that are happening in the society that we have to be cognizant of. And it's like the other problem is that this whole problem is different for different type of ethnic groups of women as well. So that is the other nuances.
Yeah, because different ethnicity might consume different types of foods, especially in America, it's very similar. But if you look at all over the world or the world over, it might be a little different. And maybe they might have different age when it shows up perimenopause for them.
Yeah, no, even in this country, Latino and Black American women, they get at 47, 48, the menopause, they're younger.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Even within America, there are differences.
That's really interesting. And I'm glad that you're doing the work to bring awareness to this topic. And it's so important that we take care of our bodies and make sure that we're putting in the right stuff. Amita, let's take a quick detour before we close this episode. Mm-hmm. A few fun questions to get to know you beyond the brand. Now, you said you wish you got into singing and dancing. If there were a Nourish Doc musical, what would the opening number be called?
Just beat it.
Just beat it. I love it.
That's an appropriate number, I think.
It's an appropriate number.
Start with that, right?
Yes, that's so true. Just beat it.
And I love the music. But that number to me always keeps ringing in my head. Just beat it.
Just beat it. Exactly. It's been a while since I heard that song. Now, Amita,
I know, me too.
Yeah. Talk to me about what's a favorite scene from The Enchantress of Florence, the movie.
Yeah, no, actually, I read the book by Salman Rushdie. That's the book. And I think I was fascinated by that book because how he was trying to tie together something that happened in India and something that at the same time in Florence, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And how those, there was a connection. That is what was so fascinating, the way he put it, this whole thing together. Mm. It was so beautiful at that time, he, in those days, yeah. how the migration of people had happened to India. That's what mm-hmm. they discovered.
Yeah.
And to me, that the whole thing was so beautifully sewn together. I just fell in love with that book, and I must have read it over and over again.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I usually read a book every single night, yeah. but that particular book left the way it was beautifully handled. And I particularly like the history and the drama, mm-hmm. period dramas and stuff yeah, like yeah. that. And that book was beautifully sewn, the relationship of how what was happening there. And somewhere in that part of the century, the 16th century, they're talking about India. Mm-hmm. So it's beautiful at that time.
I love that.
You're I was just living in that sanctuary.
That's why you read the book so many times, right? Because you wish you were there.
Yeah.
I was talking to Aurora Winters, who's a book publisher and author for several fantasy and nonfiction and fiction books. And she was talking about how she's working with professionals to create fantasy stories out of their expertise. So I'm like, that was a really fascinating way. And there's actually a book that I'm writing, kind of like a fantasy storytelling as well. What if?
Okay.
What if the Muslims came to the U.S., to the United States, instead of the Spaniards and then destroyed? So it's really interesting to see what's happened and where this whole world has turned around to. Because the big term is divide and conquer, right? And that's why we see so many divisions, whereas Pakistan and India were not supposed to be two different countries. If they were one force,
that was the politics.
Right? It was all politics. If it was one force, British had nowhere to go. Let's go back to the podcast. Now, what's one wellness practice that instantly grounds you in a stressful moment, Amita?
So breathing techniques, I've learned a lot of different breath work. Your breath is very powerful. I believe in that. And there's a lot of research behind it. We know there's a lot of PubMed research papers behind it. So that's what I tell a lot of women, and people ask me, just learning to breathe from your belly is important. Even if when you're stressed out, doing some bee breath, a little bit of chanting, you can chant anything. It doesn't have to be religious or anything like that.
Sure.
I chant Om, you know, go like this, and I go like this. So this immediately kind of helps me calm down, or alternate nostril breathing. Yeah, a lot of people know how to do that.
Sure.
Or even simple other breathing techniques like exhaling right from your stomach. That's called Kapalbhati. So I think these are the techniques that I personally started using when I was going through all these issues that I mentioned earlier. And I would breathe and do some different breathing techniques and help myself calm down.
That's amazing, Amita. Thank you so much for sharing. This has been a very powerful podcast. Got to learn so much more. But what's funny is that we're just getting started, because in the next episode, we'll talk about how NourishDoc is changing corporate health policies, what's missing in today's DEI conversations, and how companies can better support women during hormonal transitions. Now, what's interesting is that very recently, there was an executive order for DEI. So I don't know how all of that is converting and how, you know, where things are going. So guys, if you're a founder, HR leader, or a woman navigating this season of life, part two with Amita is going to be a must listen. Amita, what's one bold truth you'll be sharing next in the conversation?
Equity for all, health and wellness equity for all, irrespective of who you are. That is what we are trying to fight for in this country, in the community. And I think that I happen to represent a topic which is for all the women, but generally speaking, equity for all. That, and this is being my topic of expertise.
I love it. Amita, thank you so much for coming on. This was a lot of fun. We'll be sure to bring you back on and go deeper into why hormonal health belongs in HR policy.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. All right, guys. All right, hobby hackers. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to connect in part two with Amita. We'll have the links so you can get to her programs and her website. And be sure to subscribe. and follow for the next episode. I'll see you again.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode on Hacks and Hobbies. We absolutely appreciate your contribution. You can find additional notes on hacksandhobbies.com. Please share the podcast with your friends and tell them what you learned about our guest today.